So like I've said, over the last 5 weeks through Lent, we've been talking about detachment. And so appropriately, I just want to make the note, in the spirit of detachment in the church's liturgical calendar, for this year, St. Patrick's Day does not exist. A Sunday in Lent suppresses any other saint's feast day. And no, I'm not wearing green. And if you wish me St. Patrick's Day, I will wish you a happy fifth Sunday in Lent. It may not just be the spirit of detachment, and it may also be that I have zero Irish in me. But either way, it was a good lead-in as we're talking about detachment, and even more directly, actually, as we talk about obedience. Our obedience to the liturgical calendar of the church is actually a very simple manifestation of engaging with the church, engaging with God, and coming up against that hard thing of obedience. C.S. Lewis said that the story of humanity and the story of each human person is ultimately the story of a rebel who has to lay down their arms. This is the dynamic of our spiritual life, and there is no shame in that, because that's the dynamic of every single spiritual life, because obedience is the pathway by which our self-will, the sin of our first parents, is overcome in us. But as Americans, in a particular way, we balk at the call to be obedient. And in all likelihood, it's because we hear obedience, and we hear it with the tone that the evil one gave it with our first parents, that obedience means someone, God in this case, is going to grind you down under his thumb. And you won't be able to take care of yourself, you won't be able to protect yourself, you won't be able to do anything, and you will be hurt and diminished in all of this. And so we can understand the part of us that rises up in disobedience. But today, the scriptures give us a vastly different image of what obedience actually is. If we listen to this second reading, the letter to the Hebrews, okay, yeah, we hear Jesus, son though he was, learned obedience from what he suffered. That may strike us as strange because we go, well, Jesus is the incarnate second person of the Trinity. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's perfect. Why would he need to learn obedience? St. Thomas Aquinas, and I quote him just so you know it's not some crazy Father Aaron idea, said that Jesus, being fully God and fully man, did indeed have to experience choosing and learning obedience in his human nature. We don't necessarily know psychologically, experientially, what that was like. The experience of being fully God and fully man is what the church calls the hypostatic union. So if you really need a word to win Scrabble or Catholic trivia, there that is. But all it means is that Jesus indeed is fully God and fully man without either being diminished in that reality. And so Jesus does have to learn to choose obedience, especially in what the Father asks of him, which is to sacrifice himself to die. All of us, as biological creatures, resist that call to death. We're made to keep going. And so Jesus, in fearing his death, fearing the pain that goes along with it, struggling with it, is not manifesting sinfulness, doubt, or evil, wicked disobedience. He's experiencing the struggle of having a human nature. And so, it's important then to go back to the beginning of the second reading. In the days when Christ Jesus was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. When we think of obedience, do we think about it going along with loud cries and tears? Probably not. And that's probably because we've experienced someone we owed obedience to, maybe parents, maybe a boss, where if we expressed loud cries and tears, we were shut down, just do what I tell you. And so we do experience being ground down under someone's thumb, and so we begin to associate that with the Father. But our readings make clear that that is not the way that our Heavenly Father is. That isn't the way that He expects obedience. God is not looking for servants or slaves. God is looking for sons and daughters. And in that healthy relationship, there is the space. And we see it from Jesus, who is our brother by adoption, the firstborn from the dead, that it is okay to go before the Father with prayers and supplications, loud cries and tears, and that still is reverent, that still is obedient, because it is honest from the heart. Jesus makes clear in our gospel today, I am troubled now. Yet what should I say, Father, save me from this hour? It was for this purpose that I came to this hour. We know that in the garden, Jesus is going to say, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but yours be done. So when we are called to obedience, obedience by the words of sacred scripture, by the teachings of the church, by those with legitimate authority over us, it's hard. And it's okay for us to admit of the fact that it's hard and that we're going to obey with loud cries and with tears. Because, in fact, the Father cares. And by going to Him in obedience with those loud cries and tears, with our heart as it actually is, we open ourselves then to His support and to His care. Right, Jesus is inviting in this gospel passage others to follow Him. Right, that He is not just the grain of wheat, but that others, His disciples, also will be. And in being vulnerable in that way, the Father speaks, I have glorified your name and I will glorify it again. We know that in the garden, when Jesus expresses His fear, God sends an angel, the Father sends an angel to console His Son. God, as a good Father, seeks to support us, to care for us, even as obedience is difficult. And really, to bear fruit, obedience kind of has to be difficult. It has to run up against our self-will, where we think we know better or we want to do something else. But so that we know God doesn't stand in an ivory tower and just demand obedience of us, Jesus comes and He takes on that obedience, and that obedience leads to Him being made perfect. Again, perfect here doesn't mean He's good. Perfect means that His mission is complete. He is fully who He was meant to be with the Father's help. And so for us, that obedience brings us as well to completion. It overcomes that tendency to close in on ourselves, to take up the refrain, I did it my way. And in that, then, He becomes the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him. The Father Himself asks us to look to Jesus on the cross as this reminder. The reminder, first, that God is not asking us to go where He Himself has not gone. But also that if we go there, it does not lead to death, destruction, or being ground down. Instead, it leads to newness of life, that the resurrection gets the last word. So as we are grappling with that challenge of obedience, may we allow the scriptures today, may we allow our encounter with Jesus, who still gives Himself to us in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity, as the source of our eternal salvation, to come to the places where we fear obedience and what it might cost us, and allow Him to free us from the lie that it makes us slaves, and instead help us to embrace the truth along with Him, that instead this obedience to a Father who is good, who is perfect, makes us sons and daughters, and will ultimately lead us to be where He is, with the Father in eternal life, and will transform this life to bear more fruit than we ever could have, insisting on doing something on our own or our own way.